Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's Word today is our first lesson, Book of Lamentations, chapter 3, beginning at the 22nd verse. And dear brothers and sisters in the faith, the Lord said, "My people did not consider their future. Therefore, they have fallen astonishingly. They have no comforter." Those are words that come from the book of Lamentations, chapter 1, the same book that our Old Testament lesson is taken from, chapter 3. Well, there's another book that was out some years past, published recently, a book called The Worst Hard Time. Now, it's a book that I read and found it very interesting to read. The Worst Hard Time, maybe it was the title that sort of piqued my interest, but it was a book that was about the Dust Bowl of the 1930s. And that Dust Bowl took place in the southern high plains of the U.S., panhandle of Oklahoma, panhandle of Texas, parts of Kansas, parts of Nebraska, Colorado, New Mexico. And what had happened is settlers moved into the area and began plowing up the soil and planting wheat. Now, there were some people who had lived there before. Of course, the Indians had lived there, but there were also the old-time cowboys who had lived in that part of the world for a while, and they had observed things. And they told all of the farmers that they were making a mistake. The land, they said, is good for grazing, none better. But it will not bear up under all the tilling that you are doing. Now, understand that people had moved out to that part of the country in droves. People had brought their families with them. They had built houses. They had dug wells. And they heard the cowboys talking, and they just shook their heads. A bunch of gloomy gusses, the cowboys. A bunch of naysayers, impossibility thinkers, prophets of doom. Because how do you argue with success? How do you argue with success? Because for a number of years, there had been above average rainfalls, and the settlers, the farmers that had moved in, were phenomenally successful. Not only that, it coincided with World War I when prices on things like wheat went through the roof. And so what happened? People got rich. And when people are starting to get rich right and left, all of a sudden there's a boom environment and land speculation started and commodities speculation started and all sorts of people moved into the area buying land, trying to cash in. You had absentee farmers who would come in the springtime for the planting and then they would disappear and they would come in the fall for the harvest to collect their money. But then the war was over. Prices began to go down. The only way to keep your profits up was to tear up more and more land and to increase production and try to keep ahead of the downturn. And then the Great Depression struck. And then there was the crash, and prices went through the basement, and people stopped buying because nobody had any money. And mountains of grain sat in bags on the railroad sidings, unable to find a buyer. And then there was a change in the climate. Not climate change, but a change in the climate. A normal cyclical change, kind of like what you see in the days of Joseph. You remember the 7 good years and then what? The 7 bad years. And what happened was the jet stream shifted. Rainfall levels went down, crops dried up, there was no prairie grass left to hold the topsoil, and it all blew away. It all blew away. And the situation became like the end of the world. livestock began dying. You had little kids who were dying because their lungs were filled up with dust. You had static electricity from all the blowing dust that killed whatever plants managed to survive. And then in the middle of all of that, there was that voice in the back of your head. What was it those cowboys said? What did they say? Lamentations chapter 1. My people did not consider their future. Therefore, they have fallen astonishingly. They have no comforter. Now, those words were not written to the folks in the Dust Bowl. They weren't written to our current economic situation. They were written to something far beyond both of those. They were written to the people of God of all ages and all generations. And they were written to the people of God through one of the Lord's cowboys, through one of the Lord's prophets. Actually, the Lord had sent a lot of cowboys over the years, a lot of prophets over the years, speaking his word to his people. It happened over a period of 700 years. And over that period of 700 years, the message didn't change. It was always the same. Joel chapter 2, return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. It was always the same message, first commandment over and over again, you shall have no other gods. What does that mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Because at the end of the day, there's only one thing that matters. And it's not that the good Lord doesn't care about your daily bread or he doesn't give you joys and pleasures in this life. It's just that those things come and they go. They're cyclical. But there is one thing that had better not go in the midst of all of that, and that is that you have the Lord Jesus. Because if he goes, then there's no hope for anything. Not for now or for the future. And that's why the prophet Jeremiah, one of the old cowboys, wrote these words. He said, my portion is the Lord. Therefore, I will wait for him. Good is the Lord to the one who waits for him, to the one who seeks him. Good it is to wait silently for the salvation of the Lord. Words of faith. But you don't talk like that unless something else has happened first. Usually it ends up being a crash. And a big one, or many of them, all coming one after another. Something which speaks to your heart, something which shakes your stubborn head and says, you know, where's the Lord? Where is the Lord? I kind of forgot. For the people of God in Jeremiah's day, it took their city getting burned down and their temple being destroyed and everybody getting led off into exile. And they could have quoted the old Aesop's fable about the grasshopper who fiddled. You remember the grasshopper? He fiddled all summer long, and then the winter came. And so it is, yeah, we figured the words of God were unimportant. They were lightweight things. There wouldn't be any reckoning. And now, like Job, we sit on our ash heap, and there's a day of reckoning. It has come. An accounting has been made. And we have sinned. We have sinned. And the Lord said, good. And the Bible said, good. And through the prophet Jeremiah, we have God's Holy Spirit saying, good. Actually, there's three verses in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 25, verse 26, verse 27. They all begin with the same Hebrew word. The word is tov, or good. Good is the Lord to the one who waits for him, for the soul that seeks him. Good it is to wait silently for the salvation of the Lord. Good it is for even a strong person to carry the yoke in their youth. That's speaking of somebody in their vigor, in the height of their powers, their strength. Let that person dwell alone. Let them be silent because it's laid upon him. Let him put his mouth to the dust. Perhaps there's hope Let him give to the striker his cheek and be filled to overflowing with reproach. Good. Let it happen. Because only when there is that kind of thing that happens, when there is something that happens that brings home to you your sin and brings home to you your failure, when that happens, then it is you don't do devotions anymore. Then it is you open your Bible and the words pop off the page. And then it is that prayer comes easily to your mouth. Then it is that it becomes clear that the Lord Jesus better be there or you're in trouble. Then it is you sing the old hymn, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure, because I need it. Save me from its guilt and power. Only then do you consider your future. Hebrews 12. My child, don't regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. Don't faint when you're reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. For God deals with you as sons. He disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. That we may enter into eternal life, that we may share in his holiness and joy and the satisfaction of eternity together with the Lord. See, the Lord is considering your future. Even when you forgot, he's considering your future. Even when all you were looking at was profits for the present, digging up the fields, the Lord is considering your future. Even to the point of correction, even to the point of chastisement, even to the point of scourging. God doesn't do it willingly. He doesn't wish to bring grief to you, but he does have to save your life. And he does that so that it will not be said of you on the last day, you know, my people didn't consider their future. Therefore, they have fallen astonishingly. Therefore, there is no comfort. And no, the Lord's considering your future. He's looking for it even when you're not, so that you can talk like one of the old cowboys. Like that old cowboy, the prophet Jeremiah. And you can say on the last day, you know, the Lord's compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Lord, great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those who hope in him. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.